I, as I thought about an appropriate topic for this morning, of course it's very appropriate to me, maybe more appropriate than to you, but I came across this passage in Galatians chapter 6 that I thought might be very appropriate and something that we can all think about at this time. Galatians 6, beginning in verse number 7, says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, or if we do not lose heart." The scriptures make it very plain that all of us must die. You might think, well, what does that have to do with the text there, preacher? It has a great deal to do with the text. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "Appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment." 2 Samuel 14, verse 14 says, "For we shall all surely die. As water is spilled upon the ground, we cannot gather it up again." Would you bow with me in prayer? Loving Father, we come before thy throne to praise your name. We come giving you thanks and glory and honor for life itself, for every blessing that you've given unto us to sustain life, for the hope that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, for the knowledge that he is seated at thy right hand where he ever lives to make intercession for us, for the knowledge that through his blood we can have the forgiveness of our sins, be pure and whole once again in thy sight, serve thee in honor and glory. We ask, Father, that you'll be with us now as we study this portion of thy word together. Pray that you'll bless us that we might truly draw near to thee, we might truly worship thee, be edified and strengthened. Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. Of course, the scriptures make it very plain that we're helpless at the time of our death. Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 8 says, "None of us can control the spirit to withhold it the day of death." James 4 points out how that we do not know when the time of our death will come. James says, "Go to now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and there buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Where we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We do not know when that time is going to come, and so therefore we must be prepared. Scripture after scripture, warning after warning, and God's word given to us to indicate to us that we must be prepared. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 37, Jesus gives such a warning. There in terms of the society of that day, he tells people to have their waists girded and their lamps burning, because they do not know what time the master is coming. He's making comparison there. Have their waist girded. That's like having your clothes on, ready to go. And your lamps burning, being prepared to travel in the night, whatever the journey might require, being prepared to go. In Matthew chapter 25, he told a parable about a man who went away into a far country, who delivered unto his servants various talents, to one five, to another two, and to another one, and then took his journey. After a while, he returns to settle accounts, verse 19 says, with these servants. Likewise, the Lord is coming at a time to settle accounts with us. We have all been given talents. We've all been given abilities and possessions that we are to use. We've all been given life itself, which should be used to the glory and honor of God. We must be prepared at any time. This passage speaks about a very true principle, a principle that we recognize is true in every area of life. But whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. That's true in the plant kingdom. If you plant corn seed into the soil, that's what's going to come forth. If it's wheat or radish seeds, I don't know if some of you planted your gardens yet. I wonder if Mark Myers got his English peas out here already. He had some out real early last year. If it's English peas, it's going to be English peas. We're going to reap what we plant. If we plant love in the lives of other people, we're going to reap love. If we plant hate, we're probably going to reap hate in return. Whatever we plant, that's what we're going to reap. Now, in this very meaningful language, we find there's a warning given. We need to make sure we're sowing the right kind of seed. But there's also grave encouragement given here, knowing that if we plant the proper seed, we can be encouraged and assured that we're going to reap a harvest of joy. Perhaps there are four things that we need to take into account as we think about sowing and reaping, as this passage speaks of. First is that we are sowing. Now, I thought about asking the question to begin this lesson, when's the last time you planted something? When's the last time you planted something? Probably hadn't been very long ago. You probably said a word to somebody as they came into this building and you planted some seed. All of life is a planting of seed. Every word that we speak, every thought that we have, every action. Sometimes we even do some planting of seed by our body language. It's true of all men. We are all sowing. We begin to sow when we begin to live. You look at the babies among us in our audience. They're sowing seed already. Seeds which they reap from adults about them. We react to those children by the seed that they plant. We are sowing at every step of the way, and we shall continue to sow as long as we live. This life in which we live is a seed time. A time in which we are planting seeds. Psalms 126 and verse number 6 says, speaks about him that goes forth bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again in joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Every life is a planting of seed. I was so blessed to be able to preach my dad's funeral. Blessed that I was able to do it without breaking up. But it wasn't really a sad occasion. There was nothing to really weep about except our loss. But it'll be heaven's gain. Because he had planted seeds of righteousness all of his life. I know that some people might have thought that I was prejudiced in things that I said regarding my dad, and you might even feel that this morning. But anybody that knew him, knew the life that he lived, would have known it was not prejudice that I spoke. Because he planted seeds of love, seeds of kindness, seeds that can be an example to all who knew him. The seed that he planted even preceded him because he had a reputation that was known throughout the whole of that area. On the day after his funeral, when I went to return the lift that we had obtained from not Veneta, which was the county seat of the county in which he lived, and where the he did his banking and shopping and where he was the center of the life and where he attended the senior citizens program and so forth. We didn't obtain it from Veneta. We obtained it from Miami, the other direction on toward north, further up northeast part of the state. And when I returned it, the man receiving the papers and information back, and he said, "This was for Eldon Legg." I said, "I know Eldon Legg." So I used to travel down through there selling. Come find out he was a member of the church and had even spoke a time or two, and a preacher. He'd even spoke a time or two where my parents had worshipped all their lives, or nearly all their lives. But he planted seeds that even we, his family, are still reaping today. More than one of us as children have said to people in that area, "I'm Eldon Legg's son," and find doors open to us. His brother, living in a different part of the state, out in the panhandle, returned to Vanita to live and went into the bank to set up a bank account and obtain some funds and so forth. And they found out he was Eldon Legg's brother. That's all they needed to know. No further recommendations were needed. Because he had planted seeds of righteousness, and his works continue to follow him. We sow as long as we live. Our thoughts, our words, the silent deeds are the seeds that we perform. The thoughts that we think are then become actions and words. So that Jesus says in Matthew 15 and verse 19 that it's out of the heart that proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. These all come forth from the heart, he says, and they are what defile a man. Jesus warned, or the Apostle Paul warned us, that we should think upon the proper thoughts. Things that are true. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be anything worthy of praise, meditate on these things. Our thoughts bear fruit. They are the planting of seed. There's only two fields in which we can plant this seed. Our text spoke about planting it either to the flesh or to the spirit. The field of the flesh is the spending of our lives in doing the works of the flesh. Doing those things that are giving in to the passions, to the desires of the flesh in the evil doing. And he says, they that plant this field will reap corruption. The other is the field of the Spirit. This is living under the guidance and influence of the Holy Spirit of God as he directs us through his word. And we must follow that guidance and that direction. A life of well-doing. In the text there, he says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due time we shall reap. Sometimes in planting to the Spirit, people upon the earth begin to think, well, this life of doesn't pay. Doesn't pay to be honest. Doesn't pay to study God's word and to live a righteous life. That the only way to get ahead is to cheat and lie. Do all the things that everybody else is doing. This passage says that we should not grow weary in well-doing. Do not become tired. Don't give up in planting to the Spirit, because we will reap if we do not lose heart. Sometimes young people think that the thing to do is to sow wild oats. You know, I've even heard people say in reference to such and such individuals who are living a unrighteous life, well, they're just sowing their wild oats, like that's to be expected of everyone, you know. Like that's what young people do, and we shouldn't think anything different about it. But listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, and in the light of your eyes. Yeah, enjoy whatever looks good to your eyes, whatever seems good to your heart. Just go out there and fulfill it. Turn your passions loose. Do whatever you desire. That's what he's saying. Sow your wild oats. Oh, but listen to the last words of that verse. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. We're planting seeds, whether we're young or old, teenagers, children. We are all sowing seed. There's only two kingdoms. We can plant to the one or to the other. Paul told the Colossians that God had translated them out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. Only two ways to live. Only two ways of life. Jesus said himself in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads unto destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. The masses. God says in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, I believe it is. I haven't got that written down here if my memory serves me right. It says, do not follow a multitude to do evil. The multitudes are engaged in doing evil. Sometimes as young people, we look about us in the world and we see, you know, all the masses of people are going this way. Everybody's doing this. Why can't I do it? That seems to be the right thing because everybody's following that way. Everybody's doing this. But remember what Jesus said. Broad's the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there go in thereat. But narrow is the gate. And straight, that means difficult and hard to follow, is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Oh, if you're following what the masses of people think and what they're practicing today, my prayer is for you. Because the masses are going to eternal destruction. Few, he says, will find the way that leads to life. Few are going to be there that sold to the kingdom of righteousness. But each one of us, every one of us, is sowing to one or the other. But secondly, this passage points out to us that we shall reap. We are all sowing, and as a result, we all shall reap. This reminds us that the present time is very definitely connected to the future time. Just as the seed time, whenever the farmer goes out and plants his seed, is connected to the time of harvest. So our lives at the present time is a time of planting of seed. And as we plant the seed, we're determining our future. We're determining what we're going to reap in days to come. One time a farmer who did not believe in God taunted his Christian neighbor who would not plow his field, he wouldn't cultivate his crop, he wouldn't plant his seed, he wouldn't harvest his seed on Sunday. And this unbelieving farmer was saying to the Christian brother, he says, you know, says, I planted this crop. He reaped a very good crop. He says, I planted it. I plowed the fields on Sunday. I planted it on Sunday. I cultivated it on Sunday. I reaped a harvest on Sunday. And I've got a tremendous, wonderful crop. You know what the Christian said? He said, that's great. But you forgot one thing. God does not settle all accounts in October when the corn is harvested. All accounts are not settled then. That man was still planting. His physical reaping had been great. But that was not the end of the matter. John 4 and verse number 36 speaks of the fact that we gather fruit unto eternal life. We are sowing, we're gathering, we're making plans for eternal life. A seed that we plant today, our words, our actions, our thoughts, our doings. These seeds is a prophecy of a harvest to come. A man is followed by his deeds. To our own joy or to our own sorrow. Have you not ever done something or said something and wished and you saw it was a mistake? And it got you into maybe all kinds of hot water, all kinds of problems or difficulties. And you go, man, I wish I could go back and correct that. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. And you might go to, maybe it's a situation where you can apologize to somebody and you go and you apologize to them. You try to make it right. But there's nothing that you can do to change what happened. The deed is done. And we must reap the consequences. So our deeds are going to be followed. Our words are going to be followed by either joy or sorrow. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad." There's a day of judgment coming. Revelation 14 and verse 13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yea, says the Spirit, that their works may, that they may rest and that their works do follow them." Their works follow them. The works tell of the life that they lived. Their works tell of the seed that they planted. Yes, we are all going to reap one day. And then third thing this tells us is that we shall reap what we sow. This is a universal law. The harvest corresponds to the sowing. The offspring resembles the parent, whether it's of men or of animals, of plants or of deeds performed and words spoken. Sowing to the flesh yields a harvest of corruption because this flesh is not permanent. It will not stay. It will not live forever. Sin is a disease. It is a disease of leprosy of the soul that brings decay and corruption to man's mortal being. In one sense, the place described as hell in the scriptures is simply the place what happens to sin that has not only become ripe but then becomes rotten. And you know, fruit that's overripe and rotten. We came home yesterday and had to gather up a little bit of that type of fruit up off of our table and throw it out. But hell is a natural consequence. It's a natural reaping of the deeds of a life that is evil. James says in James 1 verses 14 and 15 that every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires, and that when his desires then leads him into performing of the act, that's the seed, you see, planting and working, leads him into sin, and sin, whenever it is full grown, brings forth death. It's death is a result of the planting of the seed of desire, lust, evil desire it's talking about here. Man is cursed by his evil deeds. Notice in Romans chapter 6, this is a passage that we read this morning in our adult class in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse number 21, he speaks about us reaping and planting here unfruitful works. He says, "What fruit did you have of those things of which you are now ashamed?" Yeah, these Romans had done some things that they were ashamed of those things now. He says, "What fruit did you get from those things that you did? For the end of those things is death." But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're sowing, we're planting to one or the other. We can of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then the fourth point that we would consider in regards to this is that sowing, we reap more than what we sow. That's the way it is, isn't it? If we have a decent crop, we shall reap what we sow in kind, but it's not always in quality. Sometimes we are in quantity. We reap maybe 30 or 60 or 100 fold. If it's obnoxious weeds or an evil word or deeds, then those may be multiplied to our sorrow and to our shame. In the lives of ourselves, in our own lives, and in the lives of others about us. Romans 5 and verse 12 says that as one, by one man sin entered into the world, and since sin spread to all men will die for it, all have sinned. It started with one, but it spread to all. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6 says, know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? There he's talking about a man living in sin who's supposed to be a member of the church, but he's living in sin. He has not repented and turned away from it. He says, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? It spreads. When the farmer plants his wheat or his oats or his corn, he expects it to grow and bear much more than what he plants. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth the planting. If we plant precious seeds during this life and we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap the abundant life. The beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life. It's a pleasure to be able to preach a funeral for an individual that has sown to the Spirit. To be able to say those things about a person that has lived a righteous life. Our light afflictions, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17 says, our light afflictions, which is but for the moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The little good deeds that we perform here are multiplied. They grow up and bear the fruit of eternal life. But you know, each of us determines our future as we plant. We get back what we give. One very poor family, one time at Christmas time, had saved enough money that they had managed to buy a nice ham for their Christmas dinner. And as they were visiting with some people in the community, they found that these people were completely down and out. They did not even have anything special whatever for their Christmas dinner. And the family decided that they would give up that precious ham that they had saved so much, so long, in order to have for themselves. Well, that was the last day of their work week before the Christmas holidays, and they gave up that ham to this poor family. The next day, as they returned home, then from the last day of work, each one of them come, each father, the father and the wife, from their respective jobs, each one of them come bearing a ham nearly twice the size the one they had given up. It does not cost to give. It does not cost to plant seeds of righteousness. It does not cost to plant to the Spirit. It does not cost to forsake the lusts of the flesh and our own passions and desires and to sacrifice ourselves to plant seeds of righteousness. It pays the reward of eternal life. Oh, it doesn't bother me to give up those things that I enjoy doing in order to serve the Lord. because I know if I do not grow weary in well-doing, I shall reap in due time. James 3, verse 18 says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Are you sowing fruit of righteousness? Are you sowing the seeds of righteousness? Oh, there's time of departing from this life coming to each and every one of us. A time when it may not be a son like it was this week that has to think of what to say about you at your funeral. It may be the preacher, the congregation. It may be some friend or loved one that you've known through the years. But what are they going to be able to say? Oh, young people, I think, oh, I've got a whole lifetime ahead of me. Listen, the seeds you're planting today determines what's going to happen next week. You don't have to wait for the lifetime. And next week as you reap and plant is going to determine the years ahead. And you get into a pattern. And you develop a pattern until you're going to find your life is set and your character is fixed. One eminent educator, for example, said, we sow a thought and reap a deed. We sow a deed and reap a habit. We sow a habit and reap a character. We sow a character and reap our eternal destiny. We are sowing. What are we sowing? Are you sowing to the Spirit or sowing to the flesh? If this morning you recognize perhaps you've been sowing to the flesh and you need to make repentance, maybe you're out of Christ, maybe you're lost because you've not been sowing to the Spirit, we want to encourage you to turn that around and begin this morning to live for the Lord. Surrender your life to Him. Exercise some restraint upon those things that you know will destroy you and that will bear seeds of death. If you're sowing to the Spirit, may I encourage you to continue that sowing. Do not grow weary in that well-doing and the planting of the seeds of righteousness, because you will reap in due time. If you're subject to the invitation, as you are not a Christian or as a Christian or as one who needs to place membership with this congregation, we invite you to come. And while we stand and while we sing.